Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
It's a strange thing to decide that you want something and that you want it so bad that you follow through with it even when it causes so much pain. This morning, I said goodbye to my house and my dog one last time, and I left. In 3 days, my world is going to change completely.
Hey guys, welcome. You are listening to the Budget Minded Traveler podcast, and I am your host, Jackie Nurse, which is a name that you may not have heard before, but I actually grew up with it. Some of you might have seen that coming, and the rest of you will understand the name change after this episode today. What you just heard there at the beginning is a clip of an audio recording that I took on my iPhone, actually, while I was driving away from Bozeman, Montana, on the day that I left for this solo indefinite journey that I'm on. And I knew that day that I wanted to tell my story in a way, not necessarily the details, but the parts of it that are worth sharing. And today I am taking a huge step forward in doing that by talking about it on my podcast. So I thought it would be really appropriate to finish off the solo female travel series with an episode featuring essentially my own story and what this solo trip has done for me and how far I've come since that day where you just heard me talking. And to do this, I've actually consulted the help of two friends, one you've heard on the show before, alongside a new voice. So without trying to sound like a broken record, I have asked Nathaniel Boyle from The Travelers and Holocene to help guide me through this conversation. And if you know Nathaniel at all, or have listened to his show, which was previously the Daily Travel Podcast, you know he's a proponent of helping people find their stories, especially through travel, which makes him the right person to dig into this subject with me. And the other voice you'll hear is that of Ginger Kern. She is a world traveler and the founder of The Traveler's Mindset. She's a TEDx speaker, Fulbright alumna, and devotes a lot of her efforts to helping people find the potential in themselves through both inward and outward travel, which is why she's also a great fit for this conversation. We are going deep today. We're going personal. We're going emotional. And we're going incredibly inspirational. So thank you in advance for letting me talk about this here with you. And here we go with Ginger and Nathaniel.
I'm actually nervous. Like my palms are sweating right now, which is so weird.
That's so great.
It is, because I mean, I feel like this is going to be a really honest conversation. I think a lot is going to come out. And this is something I've been wanting to do for a while.
Awesome.
And on the
it
heels
needs to be out there.
Yeah.
Like, really, like the impact that this can have on so many people, but like really specifically women. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm stoked about, because I have seen so many times where women around me are stuck and they feel like they can't, you know, get their own life in like a powerful state for themselves, not for anyone else's happiness, but like actually for their own happiness for once. And I would really like this particular conversation to at least catalyze that transformation, if not really like transform someone's mindset around that and how they can do that, how it's available to them.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask you why this subject is important to you, and I think you just answered it. So
I totally did. Yeah. It's okay.
No, that's great. Nathaniel, you know why I wanted to invite you on this. I think you're the right person to go kind of deep into these conversations, but why is this solo travel subject important to you?
I know it's, I mean, especially since the series has been for solo female travel. So I'm maybe mm-hmm. the one contributing male voice in this conversation, but it's one of those, having interviewed so many people on my own show and getting to know the benefits behind actually embracing the idea of going it alone, whether you're, you know, a male or female, whether that's from my own experience or from listening to the stories of others, I think that there is obviously there's so much confidence to be gained from not just challenging yourself on the road, but just being alone. I think getting accustomed to solitude and understanding the value of loneliness, these are things that I think I managed with spending a year abroad alone. And so I think that if we're having a conversation about change, about transformation, and about courage, then I can certainly relate to those topics. But regardless of gender, I think it's something that's really important for everyone to consider. So I think that I've always found that solo female travel is actually a compelling topic to listen to, no matter who you are. And hopefully anybody listening to this conversation can derive some aspect of courage from your story and any of the stories that are laid down here.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And it's actually brilliant that you're here to help close this series on solo female travel, because solo female travel hashtag is a thing. You know what I mean? But it doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily matter. Solo travel is for everyone. It affects everybody. And so I think it's relevant, just as relevant that you're here, you know, to help with this.
I'm glad to be here. I'm honored as always. Here I am again.
I know. Get off my show already. No, no, I keep inviting you back. It's my fault. Okay, so I wanted to start by reading a story that we have all read. It's actually one that I just wrote and published on Traveling Jackie, my personal travel blog. So I think I will go ahead and read that, unless there was anything else you guys wanted to add before.
No, just ready to rock and roll, and thanks okay. for having me here.
Sweet. All right. Oh my gosh. I am like nervous. Okay, here we go. So this is called 5 Beautiful Lessons I Learned from Making the Hardest Decision of My Life. When I think about my solo trip over the last 4 months, I'm overwhelmed with a heavy mind and heart. When I think about my journey over the last year as a whole, I can barely let it hold my attention before discomfort forces it away, desperate to make room for the optimism and courage that I know is hiding in there somewhere. Life is crazy. In late 2015, at 30 years old, I went through a divorce and consequently left my entire life behind to travel the world. Part of the reason I wanted to take the leap and embark on this journey is because I really wanted to live my life, to be my best self, to feel every day as if the days themselves are tangible, and to stop letting time go by thinking maybe someday things will be different, but to actually take a stand and attempt to live up to what I feel is my potential and my contribution in this world. Some might look at my life before this and wonder what about it didn't feel like living, and that's okay. We all have our perspectives. In the process of leaving, I asked for adventure. I asked for emotion. I asked for a challenge. And I certainly got all of that and more tenfold. I have learned so much. I have felt so much more than I ever realized a person could feel. I am still in the grips of exponential personal growth, and I am different. I am strong. I am confident. There is no going back to me before this trip, before this journey. Nothing that happens can ever take these experiences and lessons away from me, and I value that. I have worked hard for them. As part of my contribution, I want to share some of these lessons with you. 1. Raw life is real life. So many people, my previous self included, go through this world not only seeing through the proverbial rose-colored lenses, but carrying a rose-colored shield as well. There is a certain status that our society demands of us, that social media demands of us, and we're all so quick to prove that we're worthy of it. If something bad happens, the rose-colored lenses shatter and we're quick to shut down, to feel judged and unworthy, which in my opinion is complete bullshit. The truth, as it turns out, is that living, truly living, means hurting, daring, loving, and losing. And those who experience these and come out stronger will live all the more. 2, speak up. It matters. Rose-colored lenses be damned. We don't talk about real life enough. When I finally spoke up about my divorce on my blog, I received an incredible amount of messages, comments, and emails from my readers thanking me for sharing something so personal. Many of them said that they, too, have been through a divorce.
The shame that goes with an experience like divorce is immense. But like Brené Brown so brilliantly writes, if we speak shame, it disappears. As soon as we talk about things like this that matter, we take a huge step in truly getting through it. It's true that life sucks sometimes, but it's also true that there are people in all of our lives who love us and want to see us overcome obstacles. It's our choice to speak up and let them in. And as I have learned, so many people are in the same boat, and you never know who is watching or listening and will be inspired and encouraged by your own story. 3, talk to yourself like you talk to your best friend. Don't get stuck in a shame cycle. It's easy to let shame put us down with words like, you're never going to get there. You can't do it. Say goodbye to that dream. Would you ever say that to your best friend? I've struggled with this in the last year, mostly because when my rose-colored shield and lenses shattered, I was ashamed. I didn't reach out to my friends. I let shame talk to me instead. Again, bullshit. This isn't going to get any of us anywhere but down. Now if I find myself slipping back into the shame cycle, I either speak up and reach out to my best friends who are so quick to be there for me. Why did I ever doubt that in the first place? Or I rehearse in my head what I would say to them if they were in my position. It's a completely different story, and it always, always helps. 4, we have to act on our own dreams. No one else is capable. What is the thing you've had in the back of your mind for a long time but never acted on? Take me seriously when I remind you that there is no better time than the present to make big things happen, because time will keep ticking away. We only get one shot at this life and these dreams, but there won't be a way unless you truly create the will. Stepping up to the plate this year and speaking my truth, following the path I've been avoiding, was the single hardest and bravest thing I've ever done. But I was the only person in the world capable of making it happen. 5, when in doubt, travel. If you think for one second that there isn't something waiting for you on the other side of the world, you are wrong. There is nothing in this world like traveling to foreign places, getting so far outside your comfort zone that every second is a learning experience, and opening yourself up to being changed by the experience itself. Forget Cancun. Get out. Go far. Go deep. Lose yourself until you find yourself. I don't have a home in Montana anymore. I left it. I put myself in storage. As I'm going through the hardest of the lessons overseas, I don't have a home that I want to return to. And you know what that means? It means I am home. There is nowhere else I'd rather be than where I am right this minute, which happens to be on a plane from Spain to Argentina. But my answer was the same yesterday in Madrid, and the week before that in Austria, and the month before that in Germany. With nothing but myself and my backpack as my constant companions on this journey, I have everything to gain. Solo travel is for the faint of heart. That's exactly who it's for, as it has absolutely everything to offer that everything you already know can't possibly give you. Travel, even when it requires sacrifice. You will come out stronger. You will come out a better version of yourself. When I think of everything I have gained as a result of everything I have lost in the last year, tears come to my eyes, but they are tears of courage.
Okay, that's the end of the piece. And I'm going to give you one moment, Jackie. And in the meantime, I'm going to say that this is one of my favorite things that you've written, because you wrote it. I feel like it reads very boldly, very honestly, very raw.
Yeah.
It practices what it preaches in its words. And I think that's really nice. And so I applaud your courage for actually being able to put this down, because I think that in doing so, you've learned a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
At least that's what we've sort of chatted about briefly before this. And I think that you can hear that in the tenor of your voice right now. I have so many things to talk about, but here's the big question that I think precipitates the article and that we probably need to address in order to make all of this clear to the audience so that they understand your story. I guess the question is why did a relationship hold you back from becoming your best self and from taking this step and making this change?
Oof, that is a big question. I think
it can be a relationship, it can be a job, it can be anything that makes you essentially mask, I think, part of your identity, part of what really makes you who you are. And I'm not going to get into any of the details of my relationship. But I do feel like there was part of me that was in a way atrophying over the last years that I couldn't not pay attention to anymore, if that makes sense.
Yes. It makes sense. I think maybe the question then would be for anybody that's listening that's in a relationship that wants to make it work, or that is in a relationship that might not feel that it's the right one. I mean, so many people are going to come at this story from so many different perspectives, and they're going to see your decision to leave as a almost an extreme solution. So I think maybe what needs to be understood is, first of all, the extreme solution was necessary for you. Everybody's story and circumstance is different, and that's really important to understand. Now, Ginger, if you have anything to add, I feel like a lot of this would resonate with you, knowing you personally from, I don't know, having you on, and we've had a few conversations that all of our conversations, Ginger, go deep. So that's why when Jackie reached out to me to come on here, I knew that you would be a really valuable contributor. So just feel free to chime in if,
thank you. Yeah, I definitely will.
Anything comes to mind. You know, quitting a job, for example, like making that change, whatever that thing is in your life that you need to turn a corner on. But maybe it's you're being held back by something. I don't know whether that's shame, whether that's guilt, whether that's you don't have the clarity and you feel stifled in some way, and you need to find that sense of perspective on yourself. Travel, to me, is the thing that can do that for you. I think we all agree on that. I think we've all at some point found some degree of inspirational therapy by departing from our routine and immersing ourselves in the new. Maybe there's a big change or something that in taking a stand on, you might feel guilty. I've quit two jobs, and both times I gave plenty of notice. The situation was completely fine. But I felt excruciatingly guilty doing it, and I overthought it, and I let that hold me back for months. And it makes me realize that sort of the fear, it's almost less about the actual guilt, and it's more about facing the guilt or facing the shame or speaking up. And this is to your point about speaking up, because it matters. It matters to you, and it matters to the fairness to everyone else around you.
Yeah. Well, for me, I look at it nowadays, like with the, you know, hindsight is 20/20 perspective, as knowing that it's really me. Like, I'm creating all of it. I'm creating my own shame. I'm creating my own guilt. I'm creating whatever the little voice in my head is saying. I'm the one doing that. Like, it's not outside of me. And so what I think you were starting to dive into, Nathaniel, is the fact that when we travel, you know, we're separate from those circumstances to which we might have attributed some of that shame or guilt or pain or frustration or whatever. And then we actually encounter that same feeling out on the road. And when we do, we get to really look for ourselves and see that it's us creating it. Like, we're the common denominator between, you know, those experiences. And so it's an incredibly helpful tool to just get real perspective on you, on yourself, on your own, you know, patterns or tendencies or whatever, so you can just actually stop them, like, for the rest of your life. Like, you don't have to be beholden to them.
So, oh, like, to what you're saying, I want to relate this to Jackie's first point in our article, which is raw life is real life. And the sense that by embracing the things that are daring to do, even if they're difficult, you put yourself in this position to almost use travel as a mirror to see yourself and how you respond to these challenges.
100%.
Totally. It's incredible because one of the things that I guess is present in all of these points, maybe it's a crazy thing to leave a relationship, to leave a life that, you know, even if it's not a relationship, even if it's, you know, just a job or a home, whatever it is, to go travel, to go solo travel. It's kind of a crazy idea. Who would want to do that? You know?
Yeah.
But it's also like an epidemic, and there's something to it though. And there's a saying, wherever you go, there you are. It's super simple, but it's mm-hmm. so deep too, because just changing, you know, changing your environment, changing your surroundings, changing your circumstances, your daily, you know, circumstances, that's one thing. But when you arrive to wherever it is you're going, you're still there. It's still you. And this is what creates this mirror, is it gives you an opportunity to listen to yourself when you're alone. Mm-hmm. Everything you do is like sending something out to see how it comes back to you. And then when you're there inside your own thoughts, you can't help but notice things about yourself that you've never even seen before. I mean, I especially noticed this when I'd been on this trip for, I don't know, maybe three months at this time. My brother came to travel with me in Europe, and I had been solo basically the whole trip until this point. And as soon as he got there, it was like 5 days later into this trip that I realized that I, like, there was someone else there. Because I mean, in a sense that I hadn't listened to myself in days. I hadn't written in my journal. Like I felt like I hadn't noticed anything, which this whole trip for me has been so incredibly, I've learned so much, you know, about myself and just observing. But when you add someone else to that mix, there's an element that's completely taken away. And so it speaks to the solo aspect that there is something there that makes this happen, that forces us to see ourselves as we are in this moment, wherever it is in the world, wherever we decide to move ourselves to, or where we're traveling. That's what that mirror is. You know, instead of someone else, it's like, instead of focusing all your attention on your travel buddy, all of that attention gets focused on yourself. It's crazy.
I love what you just said, Jackie. It's so true. it's like a really awesome smack in the face. Like, hey, look at this. It's really fun. I always feel very present to my experience. Like, I often feel like I'm not rushed when I'm solo traveling, and that, you know, I know it's just a feeling, it's not necessarily the truth, but when I'm with a lot of other people, I can feel rushed. And so I think, to tack on to what you were saying, like, when we're solo traveling, we just get the chance to just sink in and be with the experience, the actual experience, moment by moment, and just slow down. And that's so healthy. And like, how often do we get to do that in our everyday lives? Like, normally not very often, but it happens on the road like that. It's mm-hmm. awesome.
I remember when I was leaving, and this is Cancun, which Jackie tells us to forget.
Ironically.
I know, but this is me flying out of Cancun back to the States, and the woman sitting next to me was, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it was the woman sitting next to me. She was sitting there, and the flight attendant came up, and they were talking, and the flight attendant said, yeah, I've been here. I've been stationed here waiting for this flight to leave for a few days. And the woman said, oh, what have you done to keep yourself, you know, busy? And she was like, oh, you know, it's not so bad. I went to the beach. I took myself for a couple hikes. I read a book. I had a great time. And the woman was like, wow, I could never do that by myself. You know, like I could never just stay here and be alone by myself and actually enjoy myself. And that's okay, right? It's perfectly fine. Everybody has their own desires for social activity and connection and all of this. But the lesson that I took from that is that, isn't it just a really compelling idea to be comfortable with being alone so that you might actually be able to enjoy your time when you aren't, when other people aren't available to be around with you, so that you might, if you're stuck in Mexico for a few days, actually be able to have an amazing time. Like, it's a really wonderful experience. And I think that these pockets of privacy are things that we need to carve into our lives, whether we have, whether we're, you know, in Argentina by ourselves, or we have a family, you know, or we have, you know, new relationships or anything. I mean, I think that these times are very important for people that are, they're particularly important for people that are creative, I think. But But I think they're important for anybody that wants to develop that sense of self-confidence and courage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not only just the creatives. I mean, I think all three of us, we come from the perspective of being extroverts. Like, that's why we're having this conversation about taking time to be alone, because of course that's something very natural for an introvert to do. So if anyone's out there listening and you guys, like, if you don't identify with how we're talking about this conversation, just think of the flip side, actually. And this takes us in a totally different direction. I do realize this, but if you're an introvert, then traveling will also, you know, traveling solo specifically, will also have you step into connecting with random people wherever you are, and will actually bring you forth into doing that with less and less fear. So, like, most if not all of my friends are introverts, except for the people that I work around, like the entrepreneurs or the extroverts. So it's an interesting balance to see where my friends who identify as introverts get their energy, and they get it from that solo time. So I imagine solo travel would be the thing to do, you know, like super, super energizing. And at the same time, people are everywhere, right? So being able to then re-engage and connect and really feel nourished in that, like, that's also something that's available too.
I love that point, Ginger, because, and I could personally relate to it, because introversion is something that I actually related more to before I launched my podcast, got into independent travel media, started working and going on more trips and making travel this, like, massive component of my life. Looking back at that, I don't think I ever was actually introverted. I just think I identified more with that. Now that I've engaged more with the world, now that I've engaged more with people, I mean, met literally thousands of people in the past year, I can no longer deny that I am a conversationalist. It's, like, laughable to me to suggest that I don't trust the words that come out of my mouth, that I don't thrive off of social interaction, that I don't enjoy the attention that comes with producing content, that, I mean, you know, all of these things are extroverted tendencies that I never would have really seen had I not gotten into the world and engaged with it more. So in that, my takeaway from that is that travel really can be this sort of exercise for not only beginning to learn about yourself, whether or not I was introverted and became an extrovert, or I think what it was is I was just a quiet extrovert. And now I've gained confidence with all of these different aspects that are fundamental to the thing that I'm doing. To sum up, I've definitely increased my confidence by putting myself out there more, but I've also become more aware of who I am.
Yeah. What about the confidence for you? I mean, I have my own experience. It wasn't after divorce or anything, but I did use travel multiple times to heal from a very, very painful breakup. And I mean, for you, I imagine it was the same way. It's like right now where you're at on the other side of this is you get how powerful you are. Like, you, like, really get, I mean, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I'm just speaking from my own perspective and imagining that you're probably feeling the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that Nathaniel mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, I think, was about being okay being alone, being comfortable. And I have found incredible confidence in that. It's kind of a crazy thing, because I think a lot of people have seen me for a long time, a lot of years now, as a super independent person. Which I find really fascinating, because I know me, you know what I mean? And and I am never alone. I'm almost never alone. And I knew that this was going to be the hardest of the transformations of the lessons of doing, undertaking this entire life change, is that, you know, inevitably I would be alone and be doing this at such a sensitive time in my life, which is kind of the part that I think is crazy, but it has worked for me. I actually questioned for the first, I mean, really up until the last couple months, I think, the first bit of this whole journey, I wasn't sure I would ever get to a point where I was actually comfortable being by myself. Because that's for me. I mean, I don't look at solo travel and say, oh my gosh, I want to do that. I have never said that. I haven't let it stop me, the fact that I haven't had travel buddies. You know, I mean, that was never a good enough reason for me. And so I put on my big girl pants and I would go and I would do a trip, you know, if even if it meant going by myself. But there was always an end, a light at the end of the tunnel. There was always an end date. You know, there was always something saying, okay, this is when I'm going back or whatever. And this is the first time where this is completely indefinite. I set off on a solo journey, not just a solo trip, you know, and there is no light at the end of this one that I can see, you know, yet. And so becoming comfortable with myself being alone has been my number one goal, basically, for this journey. And wow, it's been hard. You know, I mean, I've been very, very alone. I've been very in the depths by myself more than once on this trip. And I think people can see that through some of the things I've written. But it's intense. But I feel like that's the only path that has gotten me to where I am now, which is a crazy thing to step aside and look at myself and my situation. And here I am in this apartment in Patagonia, in Argentina, you know, my 50th Ooh. Country. I didn't know anybody in this country. I've never been here before. And I decided I wanted to move here. And here I am. And I have my own space in this apartment. I have a lake view. I'm loving this. I have friends that I've made here. And I suddenly, this is after I got here. I've only been here for 3 weeks. Okay, I said a couple of months a little bit ago, but 3 weeks I've been here. And now I'm thinking, I think I'm okay with this. You know, I'm finally mm-hmm. getting to a point where I feel really comfortable. And I can't even believe I'm saying that. I doubted that so much. I doubted that so much at the beginning. I didn't know that was something I could ever accomplish, like truly being comfortable being alone and being on my own and traveling solo. But here I am. It's
so awesome.
Yeah. And so that's where the power, that's where it is. That's where the transformation is, you know?
Yeah. Totally. Well, let me take 2 points away from what you just said as it relates to your article. First, there's this sense of becoming comfortable with being alone, which I think is relates directly to your fifth point, which is basically this idea that you said, it means that if you don't have a home back in Montana or anywhere else, it means that you are mm-hmm. home, and you have had to rebuild in a storm your support structure. And I think that's a really, that's a really compelling story in and of itself, because it's really interesting to think about. But I know I had it's a mutual friend of ours, Jackie, but an artist on the show. She's a female traveler, and she's always out there. Her name's Candace, you know her. But she on my podcast said that after spending time in India, adventure traveling and painting, she got back and she needed to leave because she realized that she felt more at home sitting on a street somewhere out in the world with a paintbrush and a sketch pad in hand than she did at the place that she used to identify as home. And that realization, which came from putting herself into the world to better know herself, that realization was so empowering, because she realized in that exact moment of clarity that anywhere in the world could be considered her home. She could make herself at home there. That was a corner she turned. It was incredibly empowering for her as a solo female traveler, mm-hmm. and as somebody who could look at herself and be like, wow, look what I can do, right?
Exactly.
I mean, male or female, I feel like maybe that is a point that speaks a lot to the female traveler because of the way females are raised in different societies. But that's something that I related with. And I was like, wow, what a great mindset that is.
Yeah.
So that to me is the home, the support structure.
Exactly. And you know what is interesting about that is I have felt that in the past. I think I had, because I've been, I mean, I'm 31 now. I started traveling long term when I was 18, you know, for long stints. And on that first trip, when I lived in Costa Rica, I was so at home there, you know. And so I had seen glimpses of that feeling throughout mm-hmm. the last 12 years. But there was always something that I went back for, whether it was university or ran out of money or something. There was always something that I had to go, quote unquote, home for, you know? And so they were only ever glimpses. I recognized the feeling of being at home on the road, but they were only ever glimpses. And I think that that is also where my, I struggle with where I'm from. And I think that that comes from that. You know, saying like, well, where's home? Well, I have a lot of homes. I grew up in one place and I lived for a while in another place. And I have had a recent life in another place and lives all over the world, you know? And I think I struggle with where I identify the most with, because it's in a lot of places. And so this is the first time, going back to that point, that I've let, that I've truly been able to explore that feeling of being home on the road, because I think that is what it means. I mean, I've always said home is where the toothbrush is.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's still true for me, you know, but now I'm really living it, because there isn't something I have to go back for. Now I'm just traveling. And so I can experience this home wherever it takes me, and I feel comfortable in it. And that's brilliant for me.
It's a great feeling. And I think if someone's interested in like hearing more in depth, like that whole toothbrush phenomenon, like home is where my toothbrush is, there's actually a really great TED talk by a Ghanaian woman named Taye Selassie. It's "Don't Ask Where I'm From, Ask Where I'm a Local." Yeah. And she details a lot about that feeling that you just talked about. It's great. It's beautiful. And I think that's a very valid question. It's like, where do you feel like a local? Like, where do you really feel like you're true self is, like, you know, shining and bright and alive and out there, you know, because that might not be in your passport country. You might feel like totally closed or totally, yeah, just not identified with what's around you. And I think if we can find places, and I do say places intentionally because I believe there are multiple places where we can feel like a local, that they're going to actually pull different personality aspects out of us, like empowerment, like like creativity, like confidence. And to me, that's like a hugely transformational aspect of travel that most people don't know yet.
Absolutely. I love that. I feel, this is another thing that I always say, is that I feel like I have so many lives. And that's why. It's because I did spend that year in Costa Rica. I learned how to speak Spanish, and you could find me salsa dancing any night of the week, like playing soccer on the beach with my friends, anything that that means that lifestyle, that Latin lifestyle. I also lived in Italy for a year, and you could see me in boots walking through the city, sipping cappuccino, like eating gelato. And I lived that life too. And that's still part of me. You bring these things around with you, you know, once you experience them. And you and I also have lived in Montana, and I've been the country girl with the cowboy boots. And I identify with that too. I mean, I have all of these things, but the thing is for me is keeping them all going, you know, like I have to experience these because they make up part of me. I'm composed of more than just, you know, one of them. I'm all of them. And I have, for me, I have to keep them going. Yeah. And what else is there? What else is there that I haven't discovered yet?
That's the question,
right? That's the question. Nice.
That's the question everyone should be asking, because if you think for 1 second that there isn't something waiting for you on the other side of the world, you are
wrong.
That is my favorite line. Totally. That was the quote that made me be like, that is so true. I mean, anybody that just hesitates, I mean, it's there. It, even if it's not a happy side of you, I mean, it's a side of you that is worth learning about. Jackie, the other thing I wanted to bring up about what you said before about this sort of struggle to becoming at peace or rediscovering a sense of home wherever you are is that you went through some really dark, tough times alone. So for anybody that is sort of thinking about traveling solo by themselves, I want to ask, like, how did you get through those dark, lonely times?
You know, that's such a good question. And this is something I've paid attention to. And the answer is, I go back to the things that make me feel like me. The things that I love because I love them, not because of anyone else. And those things, you know, it's pampering yourself. It's taking yourself there to do those things. For me, number one, running. I will run on a treadmill if I have to, but there is something about running, and running not a mile, like running for like 6 miles, like run a long ways and let your mind just go. I have had incredible,
It's meditative.
It is. And I mean, that's my go-to is running, but I've had incredible insights, revelations almost while I'm running in the last, you know, all throughout this trip. I have not stopped running because it's one of those things that I need. And it is so helpful for me. It is a therapy. And so in those dark times, that's one of those things that I would turn to is running. Or I love music. I really identify with music. I will also put on my favorite songs, you know, and I will listen to them in my earphones as loud as I can, because it's just for me, you know, something, just anything that makes you feel like you, that takes you back to who you are, that you can feel comforted by, because in the end you are by yourself. And so these are like, I feel like exercises that helped me get there on my own, is rather than looking for someone else to comfort me, what can I do for myself that will help me get out of this, that will help me get through this? Writing is another one. And I think that's been pretty apparent by some of the things that have come out. There's so much more than what I've published too. And that is something that has helped me incredibly. And I love being able to go back and see what I wrote and see how far I've come and see the things that have changed.
Well, it seems like there are two sides to this equation that you're talking about. There's the side of you that is dealing with being on your own and getting used to that and accustoming yourself to this travel lifestyle, or at least just finding that sense of confidence and home. Then there's also the side of you that's dealing with the shame of it all, the side of you that keeps reminding yourself to speak up, the side of yourself that says, your point three from your article was talk to yourself like you talk to your best friend. The side of yourself that asks the question, why did I doubt that my friends, you know, wouldn't be there for me? And so that's sort of the side of you that's dealing with the shame, or the societal shame, or the public perception of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Which I would imagine, you can dive into that. You can explain that if you want. But I just wanted to illustrate the point that if you're hesitating to travel by yourself because you might not have the confidence to do so, or you're afraid that dealing with these lonely moments will be hard. I mean, take Jackie as an example of somebody who's doing it with an added layer of like shame and self-doubt and questioning the entire structure of basically her entire support structure from back home, and having to rediscover all of that. To me, there's those two things at play, and they're not easy. And that's kind of what I'm picking up from your story. But you know, it's really inspiring.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Like, that's actually, you just presented that for me, Nathaniel. Like, you're still kind of in this, Jackie.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You are incredibly courageous enough to share this. Like, again, being raw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Actually speaking what's true for you right now, such that not only you can, you know, work your way through and not the other side, but that other people can benefit. And I just really want to acknowledge you for how generous you're being with all of this. Like, I really just got present to that right now. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. That has been one of the craziest, I think, and most ironic lessons through this, is that it was, you know, the amount of those messages and comments that I got that were saying thank you, they blew me away. And what's crazy about it is that talking about this is so, it's so scary. It's so scary because people don't do this. People don't talk about this. You know, it's like there's no place for this in conversation. And so being the one to put it, there really is, but being the one to put it out there is really scary because you don't know how people are going to respond. And I think we probably, the three of us specifically, have experience in this, but when you publish your work for the world to see, you're putting it, you are just serving yourself up to absolutely be destroyed as well. And so it's scary to not know what's going to come from that. But the coolest thing about it is that in the action of doing it itself, courage is a byproduct of it. Courage Yes. comes out of that. And that's why I feel so much stronger now and confident, is because, well, A, I did get a really good response and people are loving that this conversation is happening. I love it because it's a catharsis for me. It feels good to say, yeah, you know what? This happened and I'm getting through it and we can deal with this. We can. And we can lean on each other. People are going to be there for you more than you can ever imagine. And you're going to be stronger for it.
It's the aspect, it's the idea that a lot of the negative emotions, the shame, the guilt, those things that you perceive to be true can be a choice and can be a limiting belief and can be a thing that you sort of decide to let control you instead of actually just looking over them at yourself on the horizon and pursuing that. Jackie, you have said a few times within Holocene, which is the community that you're a part of, that vulnerability is something that you have really been practicing lately and that you're finding great benefit from doing so. And I think that this podcast recording is a very clear indication of exactly that. I mean, we're really able to dive in because you are setting the example of saying, I'm a person. I'm going through this. This is what it feels like. And here are the amazingly inspiring lessons I'm pulling out of it. So thank you for doing that and for really setting the tone of practicing being vulnerable, because I don't know, I see other members connecting with you, and I see your readers connecting with you, in the comments sections, which is really, it's really cool to see that. I mean, it's something special.
It is.
And it makes a difference. It really does. Like, you can know that by sharing, like, you've literally touched probably like hundreds, if not thousands already, of people's lives. Like, their real lives are going to be changed because you shared what you just shared.
Good. I hope so.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, I mean, totally. I really do.
So the only point from your article that we haven't touched on and we haven't really explored yet is the question you lead off your point number four with, which is, what is the thing that you've had in the back of your mind that you've been putting off? And I want you guys to think about that, because I'd actually love to hear your answers. Jackie, I think you are in the midst of it. I think that you have now done it. And of course, there's probably now there's something else, and there's always going to be something else that we're all putting off, right? Because that's just sort of the, either the treadmill of life or the, the stairway to, it's either a treadmill or a stairway, I guess. You're either going up or you're going nowhere.
You know, I have an interesting, something I just realized after you said that. Because I am in the middle of mine still, you know, and I was going to say, I'm not sure there is anything yet because I'm still in this. And sometimes it takes a long time to process things when you finally take that leap, you know, and maybe the free fall is going to be really long. But I just realized I've wanted to live in Argentina for a long time and I'm here, and that's a direct result of the last leap that I took. And so I think maybe that just means that, I'm sure it means that once you do that, once you take that leap, once you open that door, yeah, a lot of other doors are going to present themselves, and maybe it'll just snowball. I mean, I'm still going through it, so we'll see, but you kind of just made me realize that I'm already doing another one that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And more are coming, you know?
Such a key point too, because that next thing isn't going to happen. You know, you're not going to be going down that path until you actually take the steps towards it. Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, there are a couple of things, and Jackie, you're in Patagonia now. Patagonia is the place that I have been telling myself for years to go to. And, you know, watch, like, you've been down there on the Chilean side and the Argentinian side. And I have, I was telling you this the other day, like, I'm like, wow, I think I actually want to go to Chile a little bit more than Argentina. And I always thought I wanted to go to Argentina, but I mean, I don't know, but I'm learning as I absorb. And, but at the same time, I'm looking at myself like, why haven't I gone there? Like, mm-hmm. I, in the past mm-hmm. year, like, I've opened so many doors. The only thing that's stopping me from going down there is just not committing the effort into it. And, yeah. And that's, and so, but what I think it is for me is not actually Patagonia. I don't think it's actually a place or one particular trip. I think what it is, a habit of adventure. I think it's a habit of, making, whether it's nature or going trekking or doing something bigger that makes me feel more alive, building that into my regular routine so that it's not just a hotel and a new city, you know, or instead mm-hmm. it's something that's a little bit more challenging, a little bit more intense in the moment. That to me is the one thing that I've been putting off in travel and in life. I think the other thing that I've been putting off is the writing habit. I've had a novel sitting on my shelf. It's written, it's in its first draft. This thing needs to get done. What is putting it off for me, it really is sitting down and doing that. I think that's one of the hardest jobs there is. And I really admire writers for their consistency. That to me has always been something that I've had, but it ebbs and flows and it comes and goes and I lose it. And I think writing a whole novel is it's the hardest thing I've ever done. So those are my two Everests.
And can it's a really we ask interesting what question, this novel is about? Just as a little teaser,
it's wholly relevant to this conversation. I can share the basic yep. idea, but it's about a guy who takes a solo journey to Italy, and he finds in an old abandoned medieval village, he finds an abandoned baby, and when nobody in the town takes responsibility for this baby, he has to take care of it. And as he struggles with that, the town begins to reveal itself. And the theme is very much about identity, and it is very much asking the question of, if we can never actually escape ourselves, where can we really go? And if Whoa. That's the trap, if that's the trap, then you have to become comfortable with yourself. So get out there and challenge yourself. Get lost. Don't be afraid of getting trapped. Don't be afraid of getting stuck. Mm-hmm. Just put your feet in front of, you know, the other and yep. see what happens. Learn about yourself.
And write that book.
That's so good. Write that book. I want to read it. Me too. You've got two people pulling for you now.
I know.
That's my, I'm practicing vulnerability here.
Yeah. You heard it first here, guys.
That's super cool.
Brilliant.
This, go ahead, Ginger. Were you going to share yours?
Yeah, I was just going to say on my side, it's funny because Nathaniel, when you asked the question, automatically my brain was like, what's the right answer? What are you trying to do? Mm. What's the bigger thing? Trying to figure it out. And I was like, mm-hmm. I could feel myself getting slightly nervous in the moment mm-hmm. of like, oh shit, I have to figure this out and say the right thing. I'm like, actually, wait a minute. This is just, you know, me doing my thing again in my head, talking to myself and taking myself out. Okay, got it. And looking at what I like, am really excited to do and what really makes me feel alive is obviously, yes, travel more and continue traveling with a purpose. But each time I like think about this concept, I know you and I, Nathaniel, have talked about this, but Jackie, I'm not sure if we've talked about this before. I just get so excited about the possibility of all Americans having a passport, like all of us. And right now, it's like not near that. We're at 38%. No. So, yeah. So I
you
I don't
evangelize
know.
That more than anybody I know, and it's great.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's just, you know, it's this thing that obviously is the first step. If you want to go and travel internationally, you got to have your passport. If you don't have it, you can't leave the country. So I just see it as like a simple action step that literally anyone can take, you know, and because I see that so many of us don't, it indicates to me like how we don't prioritize travel. Like you were saying, Nathaniel, like you didn't want to take, or you haven't yet wanted to take on the effort, or you haven't chosen to take on the effort of Patagonia. And that's totally fine. That's totally okay. Like it doesn't make us bad or wrong that we don't have a passport, right? but it just does indicate where our priorities lie. And so what what I really mean in saying, like, I wish all Americans had a passport is I wish all Americans prioritize some aspect of travel because, you know, as we've been unraveling this in this conversation, there are just so many goodies that you get out of it. And mm-hmm. I can't stand that so many people are missing out on the goodies, you know?
You know, that's such a good point. But at the same time, the fact that those people are missing out on what is on those goodies that are for them, we're missing out on those people too. Like what is the potential of those people that they could realize through travel that they haven't yet and that they could share with us? I mean, look at all of us. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for travel. And now we're having this conversation in front of thousands of people. You know, that thing, what is it that's the thing that we were talking about earlier, what is it that's waiting for them that not only they're missing out on, but everyone around them is missing out on because they haven't done it for themselves?
Yeah. You know?
And that,
ooh, I'm so excited to meet these new people once they do it.
That's why like travel writers, travel bloggers, people in travel media, people that do what we do, people that turn on microphones and record and talk about the stuff because it matters to us so deeply. Yeah. Like that right there, what you just said is exactly, I think, sort of what compels us to do this. It's like, this is why when somebody says like, hey, you know, I'm going to be going to Punta Cana. I've never left the country. And I'm like 35. It's like, yes. I don't care where you're going. Just go and then come back and tell me how it was.
Because
I promise that next airplane trip will not take you 35 more years.
No, that's the thing. And going back to you, Ginger, you just nailed it on the head. One of my favorite go-to to talk about with people who are considering travel for the first time. Absolutely, our priorities. That's a thing because as soon as you prioritize it, it becomes a thing. Until you do, it won't be. And that has to do with everything. If it's your job that is standing in the way, if it's finances that is standing in the way, whatever it is that is preventing you from making it happen, it just travel needs to be prioritized. It needs to be moved up on your priorities list so that you actually do save for it, so that you actually do plan your vacations around it. Or maybe you do need to quit that job or whatever it is that's preventing you from doing it. Get a passport. That's a great step to prioritizing travel. Actionable. Travel. Right there.
Right there. There you go. Action steps. any travel is good, but solo travel will teach you the things that we've really been talking about for all of the reasons. I mean, you could just hit rewind and listen again.
I know.
We covered it. I feel like we've really gone through the paces, and I'm going to turn the mic back over to the host of this show.
Okay. Yeah. I think there's one last thing that I wanted to add on that note. And when I was writing this piece, I actually wrote travel. I actually wrote solo travel is not for the faint of heart. And I deleted that and then I changed the sentence to solo travel is for the faint of heart. That's exactly who it's for, because it has absolutely everything to offer that everything you already know can't possibly give you. And that sentence is a little like, I read it and I almost stumble over it every single time because it's funny with its words, but it's exactly what I mean. It's exactly what I mean. I really think anyone can do it, especially if you're faint of heart, because you will grow. You will grow so much stronger. You will learn so much and rewind and listen to everything all over again. But yeah. Well, anything else that you guys want to add before we close?
This has been really an amazing conversation. I am honored to be in this seat, not only as part of a conversation for solo female travel, but also for a really honest reveal and reflection of somebody's story about a really important topic that in my eyes is not discussed enough online. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, where people will find great value in this, is that this is what people need to be hearing. This is the stuff that people need to be talking about and absorbing to make that change, because that change is not easy to make.
Mm. Really well said. Mm-hmm. Really well said. Yeah, I would add that, you know, if you're sitting at home or wherever you are in your car listening to this, that if there's something on your heart that resonates with what Jackie has shared or what we have talked about, and you feel like you don't have anyone to talk to about it, two things. Number one, you could literally just open up to, you know, your next available friend and actually say, like, hey, there's something that I discovered for myself that I would really love to share with you. Like, would you be up for that? And then just go for it, you know? Mm-hmm. And or number two, reach out to us. Like, we're here. We're very, very open to anyone who's listening, contacting us. And, you know, whether it's sharing where you're at, whether you're in the depths of the depths, you know, in the painful parts or shadowy parts, or if you've had that whole trajectory, that arc of experience happen for you, and now you're on the transformed side and you're shining and you're really like psyched about life, any of that, like we're like all three of us, I think I can speak for all of us that we're very open to being contacted and just opening up this conversation. So please do reach out. Definitely.
Definitely. Absolutely. And where can people find you, Ginger?
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm on the Traveler's Mindset. So it's www.travelersmindset.com. That is Traveler with one L. I always have to say that for the Brits.
Yes.
and just in general, I mean, please, yeah, message me through the site or find me on Facebook. I'm very open to connecting. I really value that almost, yeah, more than travel. Like if I can really connect with people, then I feel great. I feel, you know, like me, like you were saying, Jackie, mm-hmm. find the parts where you feel like you, and that's mm-hmm. where I really feel like me. So yeah, please do reach out.
And Nathaniel, where can people find you?
People can find me over at holocene.io. That's holocene.io. Check it out.
Or at Nathaniel, the famous
on Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah. Yeah. I do have my first name. It's pretty cool.
It is cool.
yeah, and same goes with me. I think you guys know where to find me, but you can always shoot me an email to Jackie at the Budget Minded Traveler with one L. com. thank you guys so much for joining me on this, to have this conversation, this real and raw conversation today. I really appreciate it.
Happy to do
Thanks
it again
anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thank you.
All right. That was a big episode for me, and I hope it was big for you too. Head on over to thebudgetmindedtraveler.com/63 for show notes, as well as contact information for Nathaniel and Ginger. And of course, you can find me there as well. You'll also find a couple links to things we mentioned here in this episode. And if you want to read my story again, I'll link to it there on the show notes as well, or you can check it out on my personal blog at travelingjackie.com. Thanks so much for tuning in and for hanging with us today. I know this was a long one. We should be back to our regular programming, I think, in the next episode. So until then, have a great day.
So great.
Oh, man.
Cool. That was good.
Hey.
What?
Do you feel nervous anymore? You rocked it.
I feel adrenaline now.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
It's just, what do they say? Right. It's like fear is excitement without the breath. It's like nerves is excitement without the breath, because like you have the same physical adrenal response, literally. You just don't breathe, like you contract, like we contract. So
yeah, interesting.
It's literally like if you just breathe it. I should have said this while we were recording. If you like literally just breathe, then you get all the benefits of like being really amped. And then you can let go of the fear. So, yeah.
That's practical. There's another action step.
Full of action steps, guys.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen. On sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at